Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Our whole year's theme is Beyond 2020 Spiritual Vision. And the idea is to, open ourselves to the possibility of looking through, beyond the ordinary. In other words, don't accept average for your life. Try to see things in life in terms of possibilities of that which is not yet known, not yet expressed. Last week we began by talking about new personal ideas about divinity. Divinity as a love that wants your complete freedom. So we were talking about the love of God in those terms. The love of God as being a persistent, everywhere present creative power that you and I can use more and more mindfully to create harmony in life for ourselves and for others and for all sentient beings, for those who are suffering, for those who are struggling with loss, for those who are happy for any purpose. Now, this week we're talking about the love we may have for divinity. It's the other side of it. Divinity, that everywhere present power. That was a new idea for me when I came to Science of Mind and started studying. What a beautiful and fresh new idea to think of divinity as everywhere present. And for me to accept that, divinity is everywhere present, I had to begin to include me in that. And you, somehow, in that. That was interesting. I had to come to terms with the idea that there is that within me and that within you that is worthy of profound respect, awe, love even, veneration, devotion. Through my studies in Science of Mind classes, I started to understand that loving, when I love, was one of the ways I could worship the everywhere present something, the God that I had started to meet in a whole new way. You know, that happens when a person begins to explore this idea of divinity as being everywhere present. It's going to change you. Things are going to change. Seekers, women and men throughout ages, have wrestled with this and turned to the language of poetry to express it. Because poetry can say things that words alone cannot express. Like Rumi did, like this one. All day I think about it, then at night I say it. Where did I come from? And what am I supposed to be doing? I have no idea. My soul is from elsewhere, I'm sure of that. And I intend to end up there. This drunkenness began in some other tavern. When I get back around to that place, I will be completely sober. Meanwhile, I'm like a bird from another continent sitting in this aviary. The day is coming when I fly off. But who is it now in my ear who hears my voice? Who says words with my mouth? Who looks out with my eyes? What is the soul? I cannot stop asking. If I could taste one sip of an answer, I would break out of this prison for drunks. I didn't come here of my own accord. and I can't leave that way. Whoever brought me here will have to take me home. Ah, this poetry. I never know what I'm going to say. I don't plan it. When I'm outside the saying of it, I get very quiet and rarely speak at all. Ah, isn't that something? The language of poetry can help us connect with this idea that there is something going on here. Something, well, back of everything, there is a something. Poetry like that, like prayer, can redirect our thoughts from the dust and grime of the journey to an awe-inspired respect for the complex mystery of being. It wasn't like that for me in my early religious upbringing. I was taught that I was a worthless sinner. That's what I was taught. Born broken. With a tendency towards failure. And I was taught to work hard, to be persistently sorry for disappointing the divine, and to apologize regularly for my natural shortcomings. Then in Science of Mind, I learned a whole new idea, something quite different, that I carry a spark of divinity in me. That you carry a spark of divinity in you. And that spark, wherever it appears, is worthy of respect and awe and love and celebration, no matter how I or you or anyone shows up in life. Recently, I watched an interview on TV, and one of our members, Catherine Jurek, who is being instrumental in helping to feed the unsheltered here on Joe Rodota Trail, she was interviewed, and the reporter was asking her about that. And because you know how some people wrestle with this question, does everybody deserve to be helped? Now, I don't remember every word that she said, but it reminded me, her answer reminded me of what I learned in Science of Mind, that when you and I fall in love with divinity as the everywhere present something, then the conversation is less about deserving and more about loving and helping and respecting and caring. Because I'm not qualified to judge people's worthiness. I have, however, been given the ability to love and help. So again, to me, when I'm loving, I'm worshiping. Oh, those words. Who is it now in my ear who hears my voice? Who says words with my mouth? Who looks out through my eyes? And I can add to that, who helps with my hands? Who loves with my heart? Who gives with my gifts? Who creates through my imagination? It's that spark, the eternal part of me that I can never separate from. I want to be devoted to that more and more and more. The psalmist in Judaism expressed it this way, another poem or song. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Or whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say darkness is covering me, Even so, the darkness cannot hide me from you. But the night shines as the day, for the darkness and the light are both alike to you. You hold my reins. You touched me in my mother's womb. And I will praise you, for I am wonderfully made. How marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows right well. Ah. But our culture, society, makes it challenging to stay in this groove here now. To stay in love with God. To stay in love with life. Because society is consistently pointing at temporary things of the world and saying, worship that. Here's what's important. Own this. Have this. Be that. Experience this. And then along with it is this implicit urgent warning before it's too late. Before it runs out. Before the price goes up. Before you're too old. Get it. Hold it. Protect it. Have it. It can be so scary. So stressful. And it turns our attention outward for peace and happiness, for meaning and for worth. I learned something different in Science of Mind. I learned a new approach. It's like this. Try to see things clearly for what they are. Beautiful, fragile, imperfect things of creation. And instead of adoring them and worshiping them, adore instead the power from which they came. This is how our founder, Dr. Holmes, wrote it in his own form of ecstatic devotional poetry. Mighty Spirit, eternal one, infinite good, maker of all things, keeper of my life, you are all there is. Infinite presence, the one in whom all life lives, joy supreme that floods all there is with gladness, I adore you. Eternal peace, I feel your calm. You who inhabit eternity and dwell within all creation, you who lives through all things and in all people, hear my prayer. I would enter your gates with joy and live at peace in your house. I would find a resting place in you and live in your presence. So guide me into your ways. And from your wisdom, teach me the ways of truth. Help me to follow your guidance and not pursue the paths of my own counsel. Eternal and blessed presence. Illumine my mind and command my will. Refresh my soul and renew my life. For surely, as deep cries out to deep, so my thoughts cry out to you and you answer. And I am renewed and refreshed, and my whole being responds to your love. I am complete in you. All my ways are guarded and guided, and I shall live with you eternally. O lover of my soul and keeper of my spirit, none can separate us, for we are one. Your wisdom guides me. Your presence dwells within me. Your love keeps me, and your life envelops me. Now and forever, I rest in you. Wouldn't it be nice to have that on a piece of paper? You know the routine. And if you're visiting, this is how I bribe people to say hello to me in the greeting line. Now, even though these poetic words, lover of my soul, or Lord, can sound like separation, a God out there, I keep in mind that these authors are talking about something which is eternally and persistently everywhere present in me, in you, in all that is. They're devotional prayers. Devotion is a form of love, a special kind of focused love, sometimes called selfless love. And selfless means a kind of love that needs no reward, no recognition. A respectful, attention that is given without strings attached. And when we start more and more to connect with this idea of divinity as being everywhere present, what happens, and it might happen, we tend to begin a tender love affair with the world, just as it is, and just as it is not. Because now we begin to see everything as somehow an expression of the divine, and we feel this call to it, a devotion. In the Hindu world, that is sometimes called bhakti yoga, the yoga or the study, the discipline of devotion. And in Hinduism, it is acknowledged that, yes, it's easier to be devoted to something you can see and touch than it is to be devoted to something that is invisible and apparently everywhere, like the divine. So we say, well, so why not practicing loving what you can see and touch? Understanding that back of everything mysteriously is that which we cannot see. Thou who dost inhabit all of creation. In some forms of Hinduism, we are encouraged to do daily acts of devotion. You know, whether that is through artworks reflecting the divine, or acts of compassion in the world, or spiritual worship practices. And Hinduism teaches that it is in these acts that the individual meets the divine. And that practice is called darshan, which means meeting God. Darshan is that moment when the devotee, you and me, is in communion with the divine through the opening of our hearts to loving in whatever activity we're doing. So darshan can be practiced anywhere, at home, during a morning prayer, at a museum, being awe-inspired by an artwork, in a church, in a mosque, in a temple, in a center, in a moment of heart-opening inspiration, or being in the presence of someone who is truly prayed up, or being in the presence of someone who is suffering and loving them without wanting them to be different. Or in an act of mindfulness in work or at play in relationship. Or through caring for a parent or a child. Or through washing the floor. Or through helping a stranger. And what is needed for an act to become an act of devotion is to see beyond what appears, what is being done, to see clearly through to the holiness back of everything, to look past appearances and form and matter and activity, no matter what they are, and to stay in love. I have seen devotion, maybe you have too. I have seen devotion in people in our own community, tending to an ailing parent, or a sick child, or caring for a hurt animal, or building a school where it's needed in another country, or digging wells in remote areas where there's no access to water, or just being alive. At the heart of this devotion really is something we have access to: generosity of spirit. So it can include giving our time and our energy and resources. It could mean giving the best kind of energy of mindfulness that we have to help another. Sometimes in its simplest form, it's just loving kindness. And sometimes its motive is to relieve distress and discomfort. And after a while, there is no motive left at all. It just becomes the way. And when it becomes the way, then we start to understand that there is a deeper place to act from in this life. When I see clearly that there is something in you that is eternal and worthy of reverence, it's going to change me. Again, the practice of devotion can be as simple, setting a time every day to read spiritual writings, like the ones I'm going to hand out later, or by silently repeating the name of the divine, like in the song we sang this morning. Or by studying examples of spiritual teachers like we do in classes. Or by singing songs of praise like we will be doing in the Karen Drucker event. Importantly, however, the devotion ought not to stop when the practice stops. That's why practice is so powerful, Because when you and I make a regular thing out of something like loving, the effects of the practice start to seep into the normal activities of life. Love stays with me then when I go to the supermarket, when I'm dealing with a disappointment, when I'm facing something I can't control, when I'm encountering something I don't understand. When I was researching the Bhagavad Gita and wrote this book about it, I wrote about this darshan and devotion. And here's what I wrote. Jesus expressed this by warning his people that whoever claims to love God yet hates a sister or brother is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot possibly love God whom they have not seen. Lord Krishna sets forth an equally high-minded goal for the seeker, describing the perfect person as the one who is incapable of ill will, who returns love for hatred, who is full of mercy, and who has placed their heart firmly on God. Hindu or Christian, whether these lofty ideals seem unattainable to a seeker or not, they remain for us important ideas to aspire to and give us something to aim for that can result in a life that is more and more in tune with love. I invite you to take a deep breath in with me. And to exhale as you let your eyes close. And let your thoughts settle on your natural, inherent capacity to love. there is one creative power operating in the universe, the living Spirit Almighty, everywhere present, persistently, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the mind of creation. As I recognize this, I identify myself as being an expression of it. Its love expresses through my loving kindness. Its creativity expresses through my imagination. And I dedicate myself to become an instrument for its expression in this world by following its nudgings in me to do what I can to express the love that is my natural way of being. And so I abandon in this prayer any allegiance to us and them thinking, to enemy images, and I let the world be as it is, while I stand firmly in my conviction that love is a magnificent path. I celebrate what this does for me and the inspiration that is to come. I let myself be guided. I welcome the intuitive nudges of the universe. And I begin again today to be a spiritual detective, to look for the evidence of the unseen in all that appears. And together we say, and so it is. Won't you please take another deep breath with me like this? And sigh. As we make the transition to our practice of circulation, where we support our center with gifts, financial gifts. So many of us already support the center through our time and other ways. And in this moment, we are supporting our center financially. So once you take your gift in your hand, or if you gave electronically, you can place your open hand on your chest as a symbol of your heart connection to your giving and say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.